ముక్తి జన వల్లభ జగదే వరధారి జగదే వర జయ గోపీ జన వల్లభ జగిరే వరధారీ జగిరే వరధారీ జయ సుదానందన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన జయ యశోదానందన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన యమునా తీరా బనచారి జయ కుంజ బిహారీ జయ యమునా తీరా వనచారి జయ కుంజ బిహారీ జయ యమునా తీరవన చారి జయ కుంజ బిహారీ జయ గోపీ జన వల్లభ జయ గిరివర ధరి జయ గిరివర ధరి జయ యశోదానందన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన జయ బ్రజ జన రంజన यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी जयो यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी
श्रीमद्स डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भाई चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन विविड संस्थापक आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोदरक्षी श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की गंगा माई जमुना माई की भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की कलयुग पावन श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसनल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवत महापुराण की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, chapter entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, text 6.
Parvato Narado Dhaumyo Bhagavan Badarayana Brihadashvo Bharadvajah Sashishyo Renukasutah. Parvato Narado Dhaumyo Bhagavan Badarayanah Brihadashvo Bharadvajah Sashishyo Renukasutah. Parvato Narado Dhaumyo Bhagavan Badarayanah Brihadashvo Bharadvajah Sashishyo Renukasutah. Parvato Narado Dhaumyo Bhagavan Badarayanah Brihadashvo Bharadvajah Sashishyo Renukasutah.
पर्वतः पर्वत मुनि नारदः नारद मुनि धौम्यः धौम्य भगवान इनकार्नेशन ऑफ गॉडहेड बादरायणः व्यासदेव बृहदश्व बृहदश्व भरद्वाज भरद्वाज Sashishyah, along with disciples. Renuka Sutaha, Parashuram, Vasishthaha. This is then tomorrow. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All the sages like Parvatamuni, Narada, Dhaumya, Vyasa, the incarnation of God, Brihadashva, Bharadvaja, and Parashuram, and disciples, Vasishtha, Indra, Pramada, Trita, Grita, Samada, Asita, Kakstvan, Kakshivan, Gautama, Atri, Kaushika, and Sudarshan were present. Purport. So this is a long purport where all the personalities are described till Parashuram ji. Parvat Muni is considered to be one of the oldest sages. He is almost always a constant companion of Narad Muni. They are also spacemen competent to travel in the air without the help of any material vehicle. Parvat Muni is also a Devarishi or a great sage amongst the demigods like Narada. He was present along with Narada at the sacrificial ceremony of Maharaj Janmajaya, son of Maharaj Parikshit. In this sacrifice, all the snakes of the world were to be killed. Parvat Muni and Narad Muni are called Gandharvas also because they can travel in the air singing the glories of the Lord. Since they can travel in the air, they observed Draupadi's Swayambara ceremony, selecting of her own husband from the air. Like Narad Muni, Parvat Muni also used to visit the royal assembly in the heaven of King Indra. As a Gandharva, sometimes he visited the royal assembly of Kubera, one of the important demigods. Both Narada and Parvata were once in trouble with the daughter of Maharaj Srinjaya. Maharaj Srinjaya got the benediction of a son by Parvat Muni. Narad Muni is inevitably associated with the narrations of the Puranas. He is described in the Bhagavatam. In his previous life, he was a son of a maid servant. But by good association with pure devotees, he became enlightened in devotional service. And in the next life, he became a perfect man comparable with himself only. In the Mahabharata, his name is mentioned in many places. He is the principal Devarishi or the chief sage amongst the demigods. He is a son and disciple of Brahmaji. And from him, the disciplic succession in the line of Brahma has spread. He initiated Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj and many celebrated devotees of the Lord. He initiated even Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedic literatures, and from Vyasadeva, Madhvacharya was initiated. And thus the Madhva Sampradaya, in which Gaudiya Sampradaya is also included, has spread all over the universe. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu belonged to this Madhva Sampradaya. Therefore, Brahmaji, Narada, Vyasa, down to Madhva, Chaitanya and the Goswamis all belong to the same line of disciplic succession. Naradaji has instructed many kings from time immemorial. In the Bhagavatam, we can see that he instructed Prahlad Maharaj while he was in the womb of his mother, and he instructed Vasudev, the father of Krishna, as well as Maharaj Yudhishthir. Dhaumya, a great sage who practiced severe penances at Utkochaka Tirtha and was appointed royal priest of the Pandava kings. He acted as the priest in many religious functions of the Pandavas, samskaras, and also each of the Pandavas was attended by him at the betrothal of Draupadi. He was present even during the exile of the Pandavas and used to advise them in circumstances when they were perplexed. He instructed them how to live incognito for 1 year, and his instructions were strictly followed by the Pandavas during that time. His name is mentioned also when the general funeral ceremony was performed after the battle of Kurukshetra. In the Anushasan Parva of Mahabharata, he gave very elaborate religious instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthir. He was actually the right type of a priest of a householder, for he could guide the Pandavas on the right path of religion. A priest is meant for guiding the householder progressively in the right path of ashrama dharma, or the occupational duty of a particular caste. There is practically no difference between the family priest and the spiritual priest and the spiritual master. The sages, saints, brahmanas were especially meant for such functions. Badarayana Vyasadeva, he is known as Krishna. Krishna Dvaipayana. Dvaipayana Satyavati Suta Parasharya Parasharatmaja Badarayan Vedavyas, etc. He was a son of Mahamuni Parashar in the womb of Satyavati prior to her betrothal with Maharaj Shantanu. the father of great general grandfather Bhishma Deva. He is a powerful incarnation of Narayana and he broadcasts the Vedic wisdom in the world. As such, Vyasadeva is offered respects before one chants the Vedic literature, especially the Puranas. Shukadeva Goswami was his son. And rishis like Vaishampayana were his disciples for different branches of the Vedas. He is the author of the great epic Mahabharata and the great transcendental literature Bhagavatam. The Brahma Sutras, the Vedanta Sutras or the Badarayana Sutras were compiled by him. Amongst the sages, he is the most respected author by dint of severe penances. When he wanted to record the great epic Mahabharata for welfare of all people in the age of Kali, he was feeling the necessity of a powerful writer who could take up his dictation. By the order of Brahmaji, Sri Ganeshji took up the charge of noting down the dictation on the condition that Vyasadeva would not stop dictation for a moment. The Mahabharata was thus compiled by the joint endeavor of Vyasa and Ganesha. By the order of his mother, Satyavati, who was later married to Maharaj Shantanu, and by the request of Bhishma Dev, the eldest son of Maharaj Shantanu by his first wife, the Ganges, he begot three brilliant sons, whose names are Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidura. The Mahabharata was compiled by Vyasa Dev after the battle of Kurukshetra and after the death of all the heroes of Mahabharata. It was first spoken in the royal assembly of Maharaj Janmajaya, the son of Maharaj Parikshit. Brihadashva, an ancient sage who used to meet Maharaj Yudhishthir now and then. First of all, he met Maharaj Yudhishthir at Kamyavan. This sage narrated the history of Maharaj Nala. There is another Brihadashva who is the son of the Ikshvaku dynasty, Mahabharata Vanaparva. Next, Bharadwaja. He is one of the seven great rishis and was present at the time of the birth ceremony of Arjuna. The powerful rishi sometimes undertook severe penances on the shore of the Ganges and his ashram is still celebrated as Prayagadhama. It is learned that this rishi, while taking bath in the Ganges, happened to meet Ghritachi. Ghritachi, one of the beautiful society girls of heaven, and thus he discharged the semen, which was kept and preserved in an earthen pot, and from which Drona was born. So Dronacharya is the son of Bharadwaja Muni. Others say that Bharadwaja, the father of Drona, is a different person from Maharshi Bharadwaja. He was a great devotee of Brahma. Once he approached Dronacharya and requested him to stop the battle of Kurukshetra. Next, Parashurama or Renukasuta. He is a son of Maharishi Jamadagni and Srimati Renuka. Thus, he is also known as Renukasuta. He is one of the powerful incarnations of God and he killed the Kshatriya community as a whole 21 times. With the blood of the Kshatriyas, he pleased the souls of his forefathers. Later on, he underwent severe penances at Mahendra Parvat. After taking the whole earth from the Kshatriyas, he gave it in charity to Kashyapa Muni. Parashurama instructed the Dhanurveda or the science of fighting to Dronacharya because he happened to be a Brahmana. He was present during the coronation of Maharaj Yudhishthir and he celebrated the function along with other great rishis. Parashurama is so old that he met both Rama and Krishna in different times. He fought with Rama, but he accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also praised Arjuna when he saw him with Krishna. When Bhishma refused to marry Amba, who wanted him to become her husband, Amba met Parashuram and by her request only, he asked Bhishma Dev to accept her as his wife. Bhishma refused to obey his order, although he was one of the spiritual masters of Bhishma Dev. Parashurama fought with Bhishma Dev when Bhishma neglected his warning.
Both of them fought very severely, and at last Parashuram was pleased with Bhishma and gave him the benediction of becoming the greatest fighter in the world. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. So this is a very beautiful section in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, the passing away of Bhishma Dev. A powerful warrior, the greatest fighter, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport. But ultimately, Bhishma Dev is now lying on the bed of arrows by the will of the Lord. Prabhupada mentions three main reasons why Bhishma Dev performed his pastimes and Krishna orchestrated the way he did. First, Krishna wanted to demonstrate that anyone who fights against dharma will succumb, cannot be victorious, however powerful that person may be. So Bhishma, although extremely powerful and he had got Ichha Mrityu Vardhan, but because he took a position against Krishna, against dharma, therefore his destruction was guaranteed. Second, Krishna wanted to demonstrate that a devotee can accept any position and perform devotional service, even at the expense of being highly misunderstood. Because Bhishma took the side of the Kauravas because of the vows which he had taken, he was ultimately always subjected to criticism that he fought against dharma, he fought against Krishna. But Bhishma Dev, he was more concerned with what Krishna thinks about him rather than what society is speaking about him. So therefore, one of the greatest challenges we face is that when we are trying to practice the path of divinity in human society, we may not have come in touch with divinity now. We are on the path, but we have to deal with the pull and push of expectations of human society. And therefore, ultimately humans are affected by social approval and disapproval. And sometimes social disapproval can be so painful that it causes people to even end their lives. So here is Bhishma, who was risking social disapproval by being on the side of the Kauravas, but because he knew that Krishna wanted him to fight from that side, to use him as an instrument to demonstrate the first lesson, that however powerful you may be, you cannot defeat Krishna and Krishna's will. And therefore, Bhishma agreed to play that part. And Bhishma agreed to be on the other side. And Krishna wanted to demonstrate that pure devotional service is ahoituki apratihata. It does not depend on external circumstances. Bhishma became one of the 12 Mahajans being in the Kaurava side. Prahlad is one of the Mahajans being the son of a demon. Vritrasura is one of the most exalted devotees in the body of a demon. So therefore, pure devotional service is ahoituki apratihata, uninterrupted, and it is without any cause. Third, Krishna wanted to demonstrate that a devotee who is serving Krishna with his body, mind and soul has the capacity to maintain his consciousness and remember Krishna till the last moment of his life in spite of excruciating physical pain. So here is Bhishma who is lying on the bed of arrows. We have always seen pictures. There are so many pictures we have seen. We may have seen the Mahabharata serial and, you know, bed of arrows, bed of arrows. It's very easy to think of bed of arrows when we are sitting on a cushion. And imagine if in the morning japa, someone pinches with a small pin. One pin we will not be able to handle. If tomorrow morning japa, someone says that along with your 16 rounds, we'll keep poking with the pin. Let us see how the japa will be. One thing is guaranteed, you won't sleep. So therefore, many times when I give, you know, talks to the doctors, I tell them that, you know, you are going to be the modern day Sringi. Sringi gave the notice, 7 days and 7 nights. You know, so the doctor will say, go and have a test, and then you come back and show them, and they'll say, okay, 1 month to go. So they'll give a notice, right? So therefore, to remember at the last moment is the greatest battle which we are trying to accomplish. So therefore, the Gita was spoken on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to demonstrate to Arjuna and to human society that the battle which follows the speaking of the Gita represents all the battles we face all through our life, every moment. But before that battle began, Arjuna had to win the battle over his mind and arrest the distraction of his mind and be able to absorb his mind in the Lord's will. And therefore, every moment we are going through battles in our professional life, family life, in our physical health, in all kinds of situations across us. The body with its immunity system is fighting battles every moment. But all of this battle in the human form of life is ultimately meant so that we prepare ourselves to win the last battle. And that last battle is the battle which we will experience at the moment of death, the excruciating pain of being bitten by 62,000 scorpion bites. Since most of us have not been bitten even by one, so it's difficult to extrapolate. But suffice that it's an intense pain. So in the midst of that pain, how do we remember Krishna? Can we remember? No. We have no power to remember. Krishna allows us to remember. Krishna manifests in our heart and mind. When? When He is pleased with us. And when is He pleased? When He sees that we have spent our entire life sincerely fighting the battle of trying to remember Him in both prosperity and adversity. So that's the real internal battle which we are expected to fight moment to moment. So therefore, the student of spiritual science is parallelly, very sincerely striving to be successful in this internal battle. So therefore in life Krishna gives sometimes prosperity, unlimited happiness, and sometimes adversity, tremendous pain. But the game of this material life is not to just keep giving us pleasure and pain, but to see when pleasure and pain are hit upon us, how do we respond? Are we able to continue aspiring to serve and please Krishna in the midst of both? Then Krishna is assured that here is a sincere soul who has the capacity to serve me eternally in the spiritual world. Because Krishna doesn't want a problem in the spiritual world. That you enter the spiritual world and the first question you ask him, kab tak rahunga? You are given a seva, chamar dhulao, kab tak? Because in the material world, as soon as you begin an activity, the first question we ask is, till when? So Krishna has a very strong vetting process before he allows anyone to come in. And therefore he has outsourced that to Maya Devi. Right? So Maya Devi takes care of the exam and makes sure that we are fit. And therefore Bhishma Dev here is used as a sterling example. That here is a person who has apparently served on the side of Duryodhan. One who is always fighting for the wrong cause. Duryodhan means one who is always fighting to preserve and protect his ego. He's only bothered about how others will think about me. How I have to show I am superior to others. It is said in the Lok Puran there in Kurukshetra and in Hastinapur that Duryodhan would not allow anybody to carry even umbrella in severe heat of Hastinapur in summer season. Delhi, you know, so hot. 45-47 degrees centigrade. When somebody would offer Maharaj umbrella, he said no. Why? Nobody can be above me, including umbrella. He could not tolerate that. So he was an example of someone obsessed with false ego. So therefore people say, you are practicing spirituality, do something practical. I say, we are not following spirituality, we are into healthcare. So they get confused, healthcare? How then? Yes. When your mental health is not in order, and you have somebody like Duryodhan, who was so influenced by ego, that just because of wanting to protect his ego, influenced by the ego, Duryodhan created the battle which cost the world 640 million lives. Which pandemic has killed so many? 640 million lives in 18 days. What a rate. Huh? Of course, there was no social distancing. Because they were all trying to kill each other at close quarters. But 640 million soldiers killed in 18 days. Because of which virus? The virus of the false ego, ahankar. So that rates this virus as the most lethal of all, the ahankar. And so many battles which have happened in the last century, all because of one top leader whose ego is out of control. So therefore, in the same party of Duryodhan was Bhishma Dev, but one who was free from that ego. So the process of purifying that ego is what Krishna consciousness is all about. And that's what Krishna is trying to share through these examples. And so, Bhishma Dev, although such a powerful fighter, he has gained the credibility of being a high quality spiritualist. And so, at his last moments, as they say, a person's loyal, sincere service in any occupation is rewarded towards the end of his career with a golden handshake, with a good provident fund, with some kind of package which does, you know, justice to what he has done all his life. So therefore, Krishna wants to show that if you have spent your entire life practicing Krishna consciousness, and you are wondering, where is Krishna? I don't see him. I am calling him out for so many years. When I began, I thought he will manifest in 5 years. Then I thought maybe he'll manifest in 10 years. Then I asked devotees who have been practicing 30 years. And they said, we are also in the game. So it makes you wonder, how long should we practice? Should we practice? So Krishna is saying, if you sincerely practice, then I'll definitely manifest when you need me the most and when no one else can help you at the moment of death. And therefore Krishna is showing his reciprocation by sending those who are dearest to him, the devotees. The devotees, the sages, the Vaishnavas from all over the universe are manifesting. For what? To first of all see the interaction between Bhishma Dev and Krishna. To see the interaction between Bhishma Dev and Yudhishthir Maharaj, that Krishna wants to demonstrate someone may be a warrior all his life. One may not be a sannyasi or a sadhu or, in that renounced order. But he can have the best wisdom to share with someone like Yudhishthira. Because spiritual wisdom is not dependent on any particular ashram. And so Krishna is blessing Bhishma Dev by sending the support group of all of these wonderful Vaishnavas who are coming from everywhere and showing their solidarity with Bhishma Dev, helping him remember Krishna. And this is the most important thing, that we on our own will not be able to remember Krishna. We need the support of the Vaishnavas. And even someone of the caliber of Bhishma is demonstrating this. And therefore Mahaprabhu says, Eka ki amar nahi pai bala hori nam sankirtane tumi kripa kori shraddha bindu diya deha krishna nama dhane. Mahaprabhu says, I am alone. Nahi pai bala, I do not have strength on my own to chant the holy names. Tumi kripa kori, you give me your grace, O Vaishnava. Shraddha bindu diya, you will be able to give a drop of faith so that I can continue chanting the holy names. So therefore, this beautiful shloka with a whole list of names of the sages who have assembled there is underlining the most crucial point, that the purpose of the human form of life is an opportunity to remember Krishna at the moment of death and enter into his eternal pastimes to serve him for eternity. Our ability to remember Krishna in the midst of the excruciating pain at the time of death is only possible when we are supported by the devotees, when we have the Vaishnavas' blessings and their grace. And therefore the most powerful force which we need in our spiritual life is that support of the Vaishnava community, the support of the devotees. And that is demonstrated by this beautiful passage where so many devotees are coming to help Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev has fought many battles. Bhishma Dev has won many battles. Bhishma Dev has conquered the most powerful of enemies. Bhishma Dev has Ichha Mrityu as Vardhan. But to get the grace of the Lord and to remember the Lord, he needs the grace and the support and the blessings of all these devotees. And in that final battle, he needs the devotees to support him. He has fought many battles where he was surrounded by so many soldiers with various weapons. But now in this final battle on the bed of arrows, in that battle, the battle over death, one needs the army of Vaishnavas carrying the astras of Shraddha in holy name. And they are supporting us at that moment. It does not matter whom are we close with, whom we are not close with, whom we agree with, whom we disagree with, because the excruciating pain at the time of death makes all of these differences irrelevant. And therefore, this scene is extremely attractive. So, Srila Prabhupada was talking to, you know, one of his disciples who had just recently got married. Prabhupada had, you know, was part of that marriage ceremony. And, you know, this was a young girl and Prabhupada was talking to her. And Prabhupada asked her, "So whom do you love more, Krishna or your husband?" So Prabhupada was trying to break the ice and be a little jovial. "Whom do you love more, Krishna or the husband?" So she started crying. So Prabhupada got bewildered. Okay, what happened? Prabhupada said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "Neither." Prabhupada said, "Well, that is what sadhana bhakti is all about. You begin the process and gradually the relationship develops. So just like we develop relationships in this world, we have to cultivate relationships with the process of bhakti. Today is also Varaha Dwadashi. In this, we also find the presence of the power of the blessings of the Vaishnavas and the power of the curse of the Vaishnavas. So in the Swayambhuva Manvantara, the Lord appeared as Shweta Varaha. And then he was, you know, wanting to assist Swayambhuva Manu, gave him the order to procreate. Swayambhuva Manu got married to Shatarupa and he wanted to procreate, but he found that earth is lying deep into the Garbhodak ocean. So he said, "My dear Lord, you want me to perform this service, but there is no opportunity. The sadhan or the means to perform that service is not there. So please help me and support me." And therefore, the Lord took the form of, you know, Lord appeared from the nostril of Brahmaji. And from the nostril of Brahmaji, he grew into a huge size and taking the form of Varaha, or as they say, Shukara. Shushu karoti iti Shukara. One who's smelling constantly to see, you know, where is the filth. So he took that form and he goes deep into that Garbhodak ocean and brings Bhudevi right up. And therefore, the Lord is supporting in this method. And the Lord is roaring and reassuring the devotees and challenging the demons. This particular pastime of Lord as Shweta Varaha also demonstrates that Lord Varahadev is actually non-different from the Vedas. So Varahadev here is known as personified Vedas. Why? Because it is described that the Vedas are actually exhalation of Krishna. That exhalation of Krishna is inhaled by Brahmaji. So the Vedas enter into Brahma, and then when they come out, they come in the form of Varahadeva. And therefore, Varahadeva is known as personified Vedas. Then the Lord also appears in the Chakshusha Manvantar as Neela Varaha or Rakta Varaha. When he appears in this form, at that point, he sees that there is a demon who is Hiranyaksha, who is preventing the Lord from bringing Mother Earth up. Because of his intense greed, he has plundered the earth, because of which the earth has fallen. And so Lord Varahadev challenges Hiranyaksha, and they have an intense fight in which Hiranyaksha chastises Lord Varahadev with very low class language, and he calls him an amphibious beast. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport, when he says that Lord Varahadev feels pain, because ultimately the Lord is sentient, he is a person, he also gets affected, he also gets influenced, right? Because it does not matter how big or how small one is. When you are dealt with nicely, you like it. When you are, you know, not properly dealt with, it gives pain. Right? So, when he called him like this, before that he had gone to fight with Varuna. And Varuna said, I am too old. And by seeing the pride of Hiranyaksha, Varuna told him that there is only one person who can humble you, and that is the Lord Vishnu himself. So Hiranyaksha was actually moving around searching, because he was so eager to die. He thought he's eager for a fight, but he didn't know what it meant. So ultimately the Lord, after a fight, in that fight also the demigods were, you know, looking at the whole fight with great anxiety, thinking, please do not prolong this fight. Because the demigods, for some reason, because of their own material obsession, because they are all so attached to retain their position, they can never fully focus with faith on the Supreme Lord's glories, and therefore there is always a tinge of doubt they have about the power which the Lord may have. And because they have been repeatedly thrashed by demons, they have very close experience of the demon's power. So they always feel that the demons may overpower the Lord also. So therefore, when the fight goes on, they are on the side of the Lord, but they also do not want the Lord to play with for too long with the demons, thinking that maybe the Lord will lose. So therefore, they are always keeping a safe distance, just like when Hiranyakashipu was fighting with Narasingadev. All the demigods were looking from behind the clouds. And the acharyas explained why. Because they were afraid that now and then Hiranyakashipu was looking up to see which demigod is clapping on seeing my defeat. And Hiranyakashipu would note it. And by chance, if he wins, then he is going to make life hellish for us. So therefore, when this fight was going on, finally the Lord just, with the tip of his, you know, toes, he touched that tip behind the ear. He just touched. It's not that he gave a slap. Just touched. And that was the end of Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha both manifested. Hiranyaksha manifested intense obsession with greed, and Hiranyakashipu represents obsessive pride or ego. And therefore that ego, which cannot be destroyed in the sky, on the ground, outside or inside, cannot be destroyed by any being living or dead. And so Hiranyaksha was representation of greed. And Why so much of greed and so much of ego manifested? Because Jay and Vijay, they were cursed by the Kumaras. So therefore, in the 10 topics of Bhagavatam, Atra Sarga Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Utaya. So Utaya, Uti means Shubh, Ashubh, Ichha. So the 7th canto demonstrates that when Narad Muni blesses Prahlad, he develops devotional consciousness. When Kumaras curse Jay and Vijay, they develop material consciousness. So therefore, again, we see the power of the devotees surrounding us. You please the devotees in whose association you are in, and spiritual desires will rise. You displease the devotees, thinking they are a bunch of useless people. What difference does it make, whatever way I deal with them? You may not even realize, but their displeasure is going to inject obsessive material desires which nobody has the power to control. And so, a practicing devotee becomes bewildered. Why is this happening? So therefore, Shubh Ashubh Ichha is Uti. And so, only Lord Varahadev can come and destroy that personification of greed in the form of Hiranya Aksha, one whose vision is always to see what can be there for my enjoyment. Hiranya means gold, to always see gold everywhere. So this is, you know, the beautiful appearance of Lord Varahadev. And it is described by Bilwa Mangal Thakur, Leela Shuk, where he says, Yad Roma Randra Paripurti Vidhava Daksha Varaha Janmani Babhuva Ramis Samudraha Tam Nama Natha Aravinda Drisham Yashoda Panir Dvayantam Snapayam Babhuva. That when Lord Varahadev appeared, his form was so huge. The size of Lord Varahadev is described. What is the size? Yad Roma Randra Paripurti Vidhava Daksha Varaha Janmani Babhuva Rami Samudra. Each hair pore, Romkup, from where the hair comes out, one hair pore of Varahadev was so gigantic that the water of all the oceans could be poured inside and still they would not overflow. That is one Roma Koopa, one hair pore. So now based on that, try to imagine what is Varahadev's size. Right? So it is the Lord's mercy that he appears in DT form. Otherwise, even Brahmaji will find it difficult to build a temple. Varaha Janmani Babhuva Rami Samudraha. All the Samudra is there inside, still it is not overflowing. So one may think, oh, this is Varahadev. But then Krishna says, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Krishna says, I come in many forms. Gargacharya says, Bahuni Santi Namani Rupani Cha Sutasate. In the name-giving ceremony, he is telling Nanda Maharaj, your son has many names. He doesn't use past tense. He says, Bahuni Santi Namani. Your son has many names. Which means, all forms and names are simultaneously present. So one may think, okay, when Krishna appears as, you know, Yashoda Nandan, is he same as Varahadev? Tam Nam Nath Aravind Drisham Yashoda Panir Dvayantam Snapayam Babhuva. That Varahadev's one Rom Koopa, all the oceans, they would not overflow. So much water can be held in one hair pore. That same Varahadev, origin is Krishna, And Yashoda Mai takes a small bucket of water and bathes Krishna. Who will be bewildered with this? Archimedes. Because it just doesn't make any sense. How can both be same? That you can bathe Krishna with a little bucket of water, and Varahadev is so gigantic. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur is, you know, looking at this amazing achintya perspective of the Lord manifesting in different forms, and is astonished by seeing this. So tomorrow is Nityananda Trayodashi, and Nityananda Prabhu appears as in the mood of a servant. As we are discussing the sages, the Vaishnavas, the Sangha, the power of blessings of the Vaishnavas and the danger of being cursed by the Vaishnavas, the importance of always being dependent on the army of the Vaishnavas. Sarva avatari Krishna swayam Bhagavan tahara dvitiya deha Shri Balaram. So Krishna is served by his own expansion as a servant, which is Balaramji. Sri Krishna Navadvipe Sri Chaitanya Chandra Sri Balaram Sange Sri Nityananda. That Krishna appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is served by Balaramji as Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And Shri the Lord appears to demonstrate that this is our main duty to serve. Apane korena Krishna lilara sahaya Srishti lila karya kore dhuri chari kaya. That Nityananda Prabhu appears to serve the Lord, Krishna Lilara Sahaya, Srishti Lila Karya Kore Dhori Charikai. So Balaramji appears in the manifests as Pradyumna Sankarshan Vasudev Aniruddha Adilila describes that. And therefore, this is ultimately the service which these incarnations take. Sarvarupe Aswadaye Krishna Sevananda Sri Balarama Gaura Sange Nityananda. So Chaitanya Charitamrita describes them as Sevak Avatar, one who are servitor of the Lord. Sarvarupe Aswadaye, in all forms, these incarnations do what? Sarvarupe Aswadaye Krishna Sevananda. Their real pleasure is in Krishna Seva. So that means even the incarnations are proving that the real pleasure lies in Seva, not in Bhoga. Sarvarupe Aswadaye Krishna Sevananda Se Balarama Gaura Sange Nityananda. That Balaramji manifests in a supporting role to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore, Radhilila quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Etadishana Mishasya Prakritisthopitad Gunaihi Na yujyate sadatmasthairyata buddhistarashraya. Very important verse which describes the main principle of avatar or incarnation. Okay, what is that? Etad ishanam ishasya prakriti sthopi tat gunaihi. Okay. The incarnations, the avatars manifest in this world. But when they manifest within this world, they remain aloof from the world. So when there is paritranaya sadhunam and vinashaya cha dushkritam, which is required, Krishna doesn't just sit there in the spiritual world, he is willing to dirty his hand in the material world. So therefore, Krishna is demonstrating that spiritual transformation and the missionary work is only possible by those who are willing to remain in divine consciousness but fearless to interact with material energy, with the consciousness of service. If one is afraid of interacting with material energy, thinking about how that material energy will degrade my consciousness, decrease my divinity, then one will not be in a position to offer a supporting service to the Lord. Because all incarnations are doing this. Etat ishanam ishasya prakriti sthopi tad gunaihi. They are interacting with the modes, but not allowing themselves to be influenced by the modes. So there is a difference between interaction and influence. Na yujyate sadatmasthai yatha buddhir tad ashraya. So one has to engage in performing service which may involve interaction with the modes. One should not allow oneself to be influenced by the modes by remaining in that divine consciousness. And how do you do that? By praying at the lotus feet of Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas. And Nityananda Prabhu represents that. And so, Kaviraj Goswami was given order. By Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he says, Jaya Jaya Nityananda, Nityananda Rama, Yahara Kripate Painu, Vrindavana Dhamma. So it was Nityananda Prabhu who gave him order, go to Vrindavan. Do not be afraid. And thanks to Nityananda Prabhu manifesting in his dream, because Gunarnava Mishra was worshipping only Krishna, did not have so much faith in Balram, and Meenaketan Ramdas came there, he did not respect him in that kirtan. And Meenaketan Ramdas, you know, was very offended. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother also did not support, because of which he fell down. And so Nityananda Prabhu manifested in the dream and ordered Kaviraj Goswami to come to Vrindavan. And thanks to that, now we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So therefore, Nityananda Prabhu had a major role to play in the manifestation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Vrindavan Das Thakur also, great devotee of Nityananda Prabhu. And majority of pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu are described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And so, here he says, Kaviraj Goswami says, Preme matta Nityananda kripa avatara uttama adama kichu na kore bichara. Why there is a greater chance of being delivered by Nityananda Prabhu than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because Nityananda Prabhu is in intoxicated state. Preme matta Nityananda kripa avatara. Preme matta Nityananda kripa avatar. He is a kripa avatar because he is preme matta, he is intoxicated. Even while fundraising, we have seen, sometimes you go to somebody who is in intoxicated state. He gives a donation larger than what one would expect. Right? Uttama adhama kichu na kore bichar. So Sachinandan Maharaj was sharing this story in Eka Chakra. And he was saying that when they were young, you know, he and his brothers, for pocket money, they would approach their uncle when he was intoxicated. And he would give a larger amount because of that state of intoxication. So that is perverted reflection. Nityananda Prabhu is preme unmatta. And therefore, he is praying to him again and again. And he's saying, Apanara katha likhi nirlajja hoya nityananda gane likhaye unmatta koriya. So someone may say, how shameless you are that you are writing all this, how Nityananda Prabhu did this to you, did that to you. Are you trying to show off your own glory or what? If you suddenly say, yesterday night, Gopinath came in dream, and he said this, he said that. So people will think, hey, what is this? How is he boasting so much? Apanara katha likhi nirlajja hoya. Yes, I agree. I am speaking about my own life shamelessly. But why? Nityananda gune likhaye unmatte hoya. Because I am influenced by Nityananda Prabhu's qualities. That has made me unmatta, which has made me intoxicated. And therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu is constantly serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya seva chaitanya gao lau chaitanya nama chaitanya ye bhakti kore sei mora prana. And that is his clarion call. Serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sahajai Nityananda Krishna premodama prabhur agyaya koila yaha taha premadana. So very interesting verse where Kaviraj Goswami says that Nityananda Prabhu is sahaja prema uddam, is naturally intoxicated, maddened. Prema uddam, maddened by love. But when you think of someone who is maddened by love, you may think he will be whimsical. Because madness and whimsical behavior seem to go together. But prabhuragyaya koila yaha taha premadana. But Nityananda Prabhu is completely intoxicated and completely surrendered and submissive to the order of Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, madness does not mean insubordination. Nityananda Prabhu is reposing within himself the amazing, apparently contradictory qualities of being intoxicated, at the same time being intensely submissive to the Lord's will. And this is basically the idea that preaching is successful only when it is based on submission and surrender and subordination. So Nityananda Prabhu, after Mahaprabhu takes sannyas and is wanting to go towards Vrindavan, Nityananda Prabhu is the one who orchestrates that Mahaprabhu does not fulfill his desire of going to Vrindavan immediately. Why? Because Nityananda Prabhu can see that after sannyas, all the residents of Navadvip, intimate associates, they are on the verge of death in separation from Lord Chaitanya. So Mahaprabhu has to go to Navadvip. So Nityananda Prabhu tells two cowherd boys, when Mahaprabhu asks, which way Vrindavan, show them that. So then Mahaprabhu travels, instead of Vrindavan, by Nityananda Prabhu's intervention, he is going towards Shantipur. And Mahaprabhu looks at the Ganga. And then when he looks at the Ganga, Mahaprabhu is chanting very loudly about, Paratmanishtha Matra Veshadharan Mukunda Sevai Hoi Samsara. He is completely absorbed in serving Mukunda. He looks at the Ganga and looks at Nityananda Prabhu and says, this is Yamuna? And Nityananda Prabhu nods his head. Mahaprabhu jumps in, he actually, as he's swimming and he's chanting the glories of Yamuna Devi, Chidananda Bhano, Sadananda Suno, and he sees Advaita Acharya coming there in a boat. So Mahaprabhu looks at Advaita and says, you're also in Vrindavan. And Advaita says, no, this is Shantipur. And this is not Yamuna, this is Ganga. Prabhu kahe Nityananda amare banchila, Gangae aniya more Jamuna kohila. Mahaprabhu says, Nityananda has actually cheated me. He said this is, you know, Yamuna, but he has brought me to Ganga. So, Advaitacharya immediately interrupts and he says, Gangaya Jamuna vahe hoye ekadar, paschime Jamuna vahe purve Gangadhar. Advaitacharya comes to the support of Nityananda Prabhu and he says, my dear Lord, as per local convention, because Ganga and Yamuna have come together already in Prayag, after that, the western bank of Ganga is known as Yamuna. Eastern bank is known as Ganga. You are on the western bank, this is Yamuna. So then, Mahaprabhu is brought in and, you know, Advaitacharya has cooked a huge feast for both Gaur Nithai. Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu both enter. So Prabhupada writes that Grihastha is also an ashram and a Grihastha has seven duties. First is the Grihastha must cook. Right? The Grihastha must offer. Prabhupada says the wife must cook, husband must offer. So I am refraining from quoting that as it is. Because many things have changed in Kali Yuga. Then Prabhupada says, third is, the husband must go out and advertise anybody hungry. So that also is quite difficult in Kali Yuga. And then when they advertise, when people come, it is not that you say, oh, I just called like that. When they come, you invite. After you invite fourth, fifth, you serve them. When you serve them like this, and after they have eaten, they are all satisfied, they give blessings and go, then you eat. That, he says, is sacrifice. Sixth. And this kind of six processes will lead to the seventh, which is regulation. So Prabhupada mentions, why is it called Grihastha Ashram? Because householder's life is also a kind of austerity. A person may live with his wife and children happily in Krishna consciousness. He also observes the regulative principles followed in any temple. So anyway, Advaitacharya cooks hundreds of preparations and places it. Madhya pita grita shikta shalyan nerastu. Charideke vyanjandonga aramugdha soup. So, as we are ending the class and the next item after this is prasad. So, of course, you will have only khichdi down. But still you can hear and remember these chappan bhog while eating that. So, he says, hundreds of preparations are kept around that plate. Vegetables cooked by Advaita and his wife. Sri Advaita and his wife. And in the middle is high quality rice which is placed in the form of a mountain. It's a huge mountain. So total Advaitacharya cooks 720 kilos. One mountain is kept in front of the deities. One for Mahaprabhu, one for Nityananda. So you can imagine. And then on top he makes a small crater on top of the rice pile and he fills it up with ghee. So that pure ghee permeates within that rice. And the whole white rice is soaked and becomes yellowish in color. Appears like an effulgent golden mountain. So very attractive description. So when Mahaprabhu looks at this, he says, Oiche annaje Krishna ke korae bhojan, janme janme shire dharo tahara charan. So Mahaprabhu thinks that all of this is for the deities. And after that he is going to distribute to the whole Shantipur. So he is very happy and he is glorifying. Anybody who worships Krishna like this by offering bhoga, I take the dust of their lotus feet upon my head life after life. Mahaprabhu says this. And then when Advaitacharya insists that he should eat, he says, how can I eat this much? But then Nityananda Prabhu starts saying that actually I have been fasting for last few days, thinking that there will be a big feast today. But ardha peta na bharibe, even half of my stomach is not full after eating all this. So imagine, more than 250 kilo. And he's saying, my stomach is not full. So Advaita Acharya says, Acharya kahe tumihau tairthik sanyasi, kabu phal mool khao kabu upavasi. Are you are simply wandering mendicant. Sometimes you get something, sometimes you don't get. Why you are complaining? And then he says, I know why you have taken sannyas. Bhrashta avadhuta tumi udara bhorite sannyas layacha bhoji brahmana dandite. You have taken sannyas simply to come for prasad at brahmana's house and trouble them. So when Nityananda Prabhu hears this, he takes some of the prasadam and hits it on the ground, on the floor. And some portion of that jhuta rebounds and hits Advaitacharya, and he starts dancing in ecstasy. So therefore, these pastimes cannot be understood. They must only be relished. And so, one should not consider the prasadam, mahaprasadam of any great soul to be material, it is actually pure. And Advaita Acharya starts dancing and he says, Avadhu tera jhuta lagila mora ange, parama pavitra anna goyei bhange. So he says, this is jhuta of the avadhuta, it is pure. So therefore, in the smartha calculation, jhuta is impure. But when you are looking from spiritual point of view, that becomes maha, maha prasadam. It has extra spiritual potency. So therefore it is spiritual, non-different from Vishnu and purifying and elevating. And therefore, when Nityananda Prabhu hears this, he becomes angry with Advaita Acharya. And he says, Nityananda bole ei Krishna prasad, iha ke jhuta kahile, tume koile aparad. You call this jhuta? You have committed offense. He tells Advaita Acharya, how can you call even the word jhuta to this? This is Mahaprasad, how can you call it jhuta? So then he says, there is only one way you can do prayaschit for saying this jhuta. What is that? Call 100 sannyasis like us. Feed them again. And in this way, Advaita Acharya says, I shall never again invite another sannyasi. Because sannyasis like you destroy all my regulations. Like that. So then it is Nityananda Prabhu who is right there when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins his Sankirtan movement and is going to South India. So Nityananda Prabhu is requesting the Lord, as Mahaprabhu enters Jagannath Puri after speaking the Sakshi Gopal pastime. Nityananda Prabhu at the Danda Bhanga Nadi, there he takes Mahaprabhu's danda and breaks it into three. And then when Mahaprabhu says, I want to go to South India, Nityananda Prabhu is the first to offer, I will come with you. And Mahaprabhu says, I don't want my, you know, entire journey to be interrupted by episodes like this. You are unpredictable. And then so many others, you know, they offer that we want to come with you. Mahaprabhu does not allow. By quoting that, oh, Mukundai becomes very sad when he sees me performing austerity. Jagadananda Pandit forces various pleasures upon me. Damodar Pandit chastises me. Nityananda Prabhu is unpredictable in his behavior. So Kaviraj Goswami says, looks like Mahaprabhu is criticizing his associates, but no. Iha savara vasha prabhu hoye ye ye gune dosharopa chole kore guna aswadane. Actually, Mahaprabhu is not criticizing, but he is tasting the love of his devotees, that the devotees who are intimate in relationship with me control me so much, I can't come beyond their control. So it's glorification. So now Nityananda Prabhu at last says, that at least take one person with you. Tomar dui hasta baddha nama ganane jalapatra bahirvasa hoibe kemone. When you are chanting, my dear Lord, with one hand in fingers, you are counting the mantra. Each mantra you are counting with one hand. And in the other hand, you are counting how many rounds are over. So with one hand of Mahaprabhu is chanting beads, other hand is counting beads. So tumar dui hasta baddha nama ganane. At least for jalapatra bahirvasa vahibe, to carry it, somebody has to come with you. So please, this devotee called Kal Krishnadas. So who is recommending Kal Krishnadas? Nityananda Prabhu. Jalapatra vastra vahi toma sanga jabe je tomara ichha kara kichuna bolibe. And he assures, this person will be quiet. He will not disturb you. Not that in every temple he will say, how are you feeling? Can you share your ecstasies? I am feeling so fortunate. And not that in every temple he will be posting on Facebook, I am with Lord Chaitanya here. Status update. He will just leave you alone. He won't disturb you. He will only assist you. So it was Nityananda Prabhu's heavy recommendation, and later Kal Krishnadas was in difficulty. When Mahaprabhu came back, he rejected Kal Krishnadas. But Nityananda Prabhu didn't come and slap Kal Krishnadas. Naam mitti mein mila diya. I recommended you with so much faith. Mahaprabhu ke samne impression kharab ho gaya. Nalayak. Mahaprabhu chastised him and rejected him. Nityananda Jagadananda Mukunda Damodar Charijani Yukti Kore Karilo Antar. But it was Nityananda, Mukunda, Jagadananda, Damodar Pandit who together thought, Mahaprabhu has rejected him, but he expects us to engage him. And therefore, if Vaishnav community rejects someone, what hope is there? So therefore, one needs correction, but correction does not mean social rejection. And therefore, the correction has to be done in a spiritually and socially sensitive manner. And so, he was given the task of giving prasadam and reports to Sachi Devi and the devotees, messenger between Jagannath Puri and Bengal. And then when Mahaprabhu starts chanting the holy names, you know, in Alarnath, then Nityananda Prabhu is right there as he witnesses Mahaprabhu's beautiful kirtan. Chaudiketa sabaloka bole hori hori prema veshya madhye nritya kore gaur hari. And he sees Mahaprabhu dancing in ecstasy, and he sees that people are coming there and their mind is astounded. Dekhiya loke ramana hoila chamatkar jata loka aise keh nahi chayagyar. And whoever came and saw Mahaprabhu's sankirtan did not want to go home. They just wanted to chant the holy names. When Nityananda Prabhu saw this tumultuous chanting of the holy names, it was Lord Nityananda who made this prediction. Dekhi Nityananda Prabhu kohe bhakta gane ei rupe nritya age hobe grame grame. Nityananda Prabhu made this prediction. Kohe bhakta gane, he told all the devotees, ei rupe, the kirtan like this, nritya age, the dancing and chanting will happen, hoe grame grame, in every town and village. And therefore Lord Nityananda Prabhu at Alarnath is predicting the appearance of the Senapati Bhakta, his divine grace Srila Prabhupada, who established ISKCON all over the world in every town and village. This is Lord Nityananda's glory. And therefore Prabhupada mentions that the purpose of International Society for Krishna Consciousness is to provide the facility of satsanga. When there is satsanga, there is transformation. Right? So, there is a very interesting incident which happened in 1968. There was a school teacher by the name of Bill Dougal. And Bill Dougal was very passionate that our school should have computers. So, through the Parents Teachers Association, he raised some money, $3,000, and actually established a computer there in that school. And that school was the Lakeside School in U.S. And because he established that computer there, it was only practically the only high school which had a computer in those days. As per United Nations, that there were 303 million high school students across the whole world in 1968. And at that particular moment, in USA, 18 million high school students were there. In Seattle, hardly 200,000 or 100,000 students were there. In that Lakeside school, there were only 300 students in high school at that time. So the 303 million high school students were there all over the world. But in that Lakeside school, only 300 students had access to that computer, which is like a 1 in a million chance to associate with a computer. And thanks to that vision of that teacher, Bill Dougal, one of the students who got obsessed with the computer was Bill Gates. And he was playing with the computer day and night, he along with his friend Paul Allen. And now Microsoft is a $3 trillion economy. But Bill Gates accepts and acknowledges that if there was no Lakeside School, there would be no Microsoft. Access at the right time, at the right place is so important. And that's what His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada has done by establishing ISKCON in every continent across the world. There are ISKCON temples everywhere, including in Siberia, in minus 40 degrees. The pujari in Siberia in minus 40 degree blows the shank at 4:30 morning. Just imagine. There is a book distribution party which goes from Iceland to do distribution of books in Greenland. God knows what they distribute for prasadam. So, you can imagine what Prabhupada has done. One of the devotees was just about to take rest in Mayapur, an Indian devotee. And in his room was another devotee from Europe. And, as soon as this devotee, because Mayapur has lots of mosquitoes, so he's put this, that kachua chap, old style. So he was, putting it on, mosquito repellent. And this European devotee said, no, this is very violent, don't do that. I will go and get mosquito net. So he said, Are Baba, what is the problem? Where in the night we are going to get mosquito net? No. This will harm the mosquito. So he went searching and came back after half an hour with the mosquito net, gave it to him and said, now we can sleep. So this devotee was impressed. He said, my God. So much of care for a mosquito. Machhar ke liye. So he said, what's your story? And this European devotee said, actually, I am coming from a very different background. I was in Croatia and I was part of the insurgency and the, you know, internal battle which was happening, civil war. And I was part of a group where I was killing a few people every day. I had, you know, the clothes which supported me and the rank and the weapons. Every day I was killing people. And I was known for that. I was glorified for that. So one day, as usual, on duty, I was chasing one person and took him to the corner and was about to shoot him and place the gun on his head. I saw that there was fearlessness on his face. I looked at him and said, "Hey, I'm going to kill you. Are you not afraid?" And that man looked at me, smiled and said, "You can't kill me." So he looked into his gun and checked. That bullets are all there. "Why you are saying I can't kill you?" He says, "Because I am not the body. I am the soul. Aham Brahmasmi. The soul can never be killed." And he spoke about the glories of the soul from the second chapter. This guy put his gun down. And he said, "Never heard this before. Can you explain to me?" And he said, "Let us go inside the room." So he took him inside the room, latched the door. And for the next 20 minutes, this person gave this soldier 6-session Gita course summary, including law of karma. And then this soldier said, "Where can I get this knowledge?" He said, "The Gita." He said, "Where can I get it?" "I'll give you." "How do I come to you?" "Take my address." So gave him the address where the satsang used to happen. So he went there, got transformed, and then ultimately left and joined the movement and became one of the top book distributors. And he said, "It is the power of Bhagavad Gita and Srila Prabhupada's purports. That person who was killing a few human beings every day is so concerned about killing even a small mosquito." Prabhupada was in Mexico and a devotee was massaging Srila Prabhupada. And there were mosquitoes biting this devotee. So he looked at Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, I see that mosquitoes are biting me, but the mosquitoes are not biting you. Because looks like you are a pure devotee, therefore they are not biting you." Prabhupada said, "It may be so in Mexico, but in Kolkata they make no distinction." So Prabhupada was in 3C Albert Road, Calcutta. He was sitting giving class and mosquitoes were circumambulating above his head. And Prabhupada came down and sat with the devotees, looked at the mosquitoes there and said, "See, the mosquitoes have dethroned me." So the nature of this material world is the misery will continue. But how in the midst of this misery one can actually recollect his real mission. To assist us in that, Srila Prabhupada has established ISKCON to give us Vaishnav Sangha. And in that Vaishnav Sangha, we are able to remember that the purpose of the human form of life is to always remain grateful to Krishna and remember to serve Him and please Him in the midst of all prosperity and adversity. And therefore, the Lord, out of His causeless mercy, sends His own representatives in the form of gurus. And these gurus are carrying the Guru Tattva, which is nothing but the presiding deity of this Guru Tattva, of the Samvit potency of the Lord, is Balaramji. And that Balaramji manifests 500 years ago in the form of Lord Nityananda, so that we can get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by approaching Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So tomorrow is Sri Nityananda Trayodashi, a day of prayer, a day of expressing gratitude,
a day of contemplation, introspection, of trying to understand how we can fulfill the desires of the previous acharyas. Please, Srila Prabhupada, please the devotees, and progress in Krishna consciousness so that we are able to remember the Lord anytime, anywhere, in any circumstance, in any kind of situation. And with that, we offer our special prayers to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada for being that representative of Lord Nityananda, having established ISKCON in every corner of the world where a facility is available. Because unless the facility is available, there cannot be an opportunity. Just like, you know, that computer in a school gave the facility for a schoolboy to become Bill Gates. So the presence of Harinam, Srimad Bhagwat, Archavigra, Dham, and the Vaishnavas, in these five forms, Srila Prabhupada has manifested such wonderful spiritual facilities for us to be transformed and go back home and back to Godhead. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. There is an announcement. Today's breakfast prasadam has been sponsored by the following devotees. Abhishek Gokal Prabhuji, seeking blessings from all the devotees for good health and spiritual well-being of him and his family. And a well-wisher seeking blessings from all the devotees for good health and spiritual well-being of family. Let us express our best wishes, gratitude and prayers by lovely chanting three times. Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare.